In my eyes, the Jedi are evil.
Well, I mean, how do I argue with that? I mean, hey, you know?
Because goodness is relative. Then you it connects, because he said that to Anakin, and he picked that up. He's like, hey, you know, maybe...
Well, you truly are lost, then.
Oh, my God.
I hate you. His last words to Virgil Sims screaming, I hate you.
I can't.
I mean, he cut off all his limbs and left him on fire. That's a fair...
But I'm like, I don't know.
What's he going to say? I love you?
Okay, no.
Please chop off my limbs again, Daddy.
No, I mean, whatever.
Hey, folks, welcome to another edition of the Spotter Pod. This time I remember to do our introductions. It's yours truly, Jeffrey Excellence, joined with yours truly.
The big O / Ophi. / various other things.
I know you wanted me to cut in there, but I was going to just see what you came with.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Dude, it's been like, what, 95? 95 episodes?
See, honestly, this could have been a good one for episode 100, but I just really wanted
to... Oh, no. A lot of material to talk about. You know, I was kind of apprehensive about watching the prequel trilogy, and to be fair, they're all kind of bad, but you know what? I guess my life is more enriched having experienced them, so you know, I don't know, I guess they are.
But hey, before we move on to what we cover today, Spod 95, Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. What we did last time was an episode of WCW, the episode where the horsemen get jumped, rather the horsemen jump Dusty Rhodes. Any lingering thoughts on that?
Not really.
Yeah, like I said, I just want to put this over again, like, if you're just, you know, a casual wrestling fan, I just think looking at the old history of the business, or rather just the history, but looking at the history of the business can be beneficial, because it actually is some compelling material.
Yeah, yeah, no, I could drive with that with any...
And plus it's short, right? It's like...
Oh, yeah. That's the
like
best
a half
part.
Hour, right?
Like, yeah, it's not fucking... Ugh.
A million hours a week to watch X or Y, you know? It's just half hour... You know, see what's up.
I don't even get, like a couple years ago, I was watching, I wasn't watching Raw Weekly, because fuck that, but I was watching SmackDown Weekly.
Right.
I'm like, how did I find the time to do that? That's crazy. Says the person who's now watched, like, 600 episodes of One Piece or something.
Oh, my God.
Whatever.
Not the One Piece black hole.
Oh, no. Hey, we're almost out of Fishman Island.
Jesus.
Which, yo, I don't get why people don't like this fucking arc. This arc's amazing. What the fuck?
I mean, it's a good reintroduction to the characters after the
and,
time skip.
And just a lot of the themes, I'm like, wow, this feels really relevant to today's culture.
And then you get Luffy, you know, dodging all the light speed bullets, like, you know, doing like a Matrix dodge.
The observation hockey.
Yeah,
and stuff,
yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
All the fish people are pretty cool.
But can he beat Goku?
Oh, I guess not. That's why it sucks. Okay. Yeah, Shay, you're right. Dragon Ball is better. Damn. Hey, your shirt is very...
Oh, yeah. Very, apropos for today's podcast.
Yeah,
why don't you read it out for
yeah,
us?
Anime is trash and so am I. We're all just...
Shout out to Giga, please.
Oh, that's his shirt?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Makes, okay.
Please sponsor this podcast.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. We're going to do the collab soon. We're going to...
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know what, Giga? We're taking you over, pal.
Yeah, we're going to show you the real trash taste. Ooh.
See, it's
Jesus
all...
Christ.
The anime community wants our opinion. You're a has-been.
Oh, yeah. We're the next generation.
That's why we have Jesus clearly Christ. So many listens every podcast.
Oh, man.
I think I have more family members.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Not fair. I'm a big family. But all right, let's get into the actual
anyway. Actual
podcast. Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, the culmination of the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
So any let's hear your quick overview.
My quick overview is Anakin's a big dumb idiot.
Yeah. You know, if we couldn't be memed anymore from the second episode of saying I don't like
sand, yeah. And murdering sand people.
Yeah. Like, he certainly, like, look, this isn't, I want to make it clear, this isn't trying to crucify hating Christians.
No, I don't even think, he's not the problem.
No,
like,
no,
I don't
no.
think he, the performance was that bad.
I think the writing could have used a little more objective revision, if anything.
A little bit. Some of his lines do sound like. Like, I don't think anyone could have delivered them good, you know?
I saw a video on YouTube that talks about it pretty well, but I can't think of the name of the YouTuber, but look this up, folks, so you'll find it on YouTube. But George Lucas is the king of wooden dialogue, which is kind of like, how do I put this? It's maybe like an ironic term, or rather making fun of yourself type of way, because wooden dialogue is, you know, it's meant to be stiff, right? It's kind of unnatural. So, and George Lucas is really good at that. Well, good at thing, but that's what the video says, but they can explain it at much better lengths than I can.
I think I've heard something similar to that, like how the dialogue written is.
If you watch movies like, you know, if you watch any of the Star Wars movies, that kind of comes off the page, right? Because saying things like, in my eyes, the Jedi are evil.
That's probably the worst one. It's so...
Or I like Sam. Oh, no, I hate Sam. I hate Sam. Yeah, yeah.
That one, yeah.
Well, hold on. Let me read another line. No, okay. Well, this isn't really a line a notable character said, but just writing that Padme lost the will to live as opposed to being choked while about to give birth, causing her death, you know?
Like the story is actively worse because you could have just said she died and not give a full and actual reason, because that's how it happens, you know? Yeah. But
choking someone out right
before. Yeah, that does not help. But like,
actually, another question I'm going to throw it out there before we go on. Go for it. So how was Padme going to hide who the father was in the first place? Because obviously she's going to be not present. Or no, she was present in the senator meetings and she's clearly showing. So,
well, I guess it's because they kept their relationship, you know.
I know, but doesn't that look worse, quote unquote, in a PR sense? Like, oh, who is this bastard child?
Well, I mean, she's dead. So there's no one. There's no image for her to protect anymore.
Lost the will to live.
Yeah, broken heart. Fantastic.
She said that, remember? Yeah. She told Anakin, "You're breaking my heart."
Literally. Oh, terrible. And then Anakin asked, or rather Darth asked, "Where is she? Where's Padme? Is she okay?" Like, as if he didn't just choke her in less than 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
Big dumb.
I mean, hey, he probably trusted Palpatine to take care of her. Which, I mean, hey.
Why the fuck not? But let's get into the themes and tones.
Themes and tones.
I will say, like, I think the general idea of episode 3 at the bare minimum is giving up personal liberties and sacrifice for order or safety, I guess. And that's something that is relevant to society, right?
Yeah.
And you could see that with not only the Republic becoming the Empire, Galactic Empire, or you could see that with Anakin giving up, you know, his freedom to quote-unquote save Padme. Now, the logistics of him having to save Padme with the dark side are never fully explained. And of all the things he chose not to explain, it's kind of confusing. But.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably the biggest point of to me is Anakin bases his whole heel turn on Palpatine promising him that
him,
he'll do it
and
without
him being scared of losing his wife.
Yeah, which is understandable, right? And I do think it would be like a lot better if Palpatine had an actual tangible like way to show, hey, I can do it. I can do it. Just trust me, Anakin. We will save your life. Wife. Not his life. Well, I guess he's alive. But and then it becomes like Anakin, like, you know, sacrificing the Republic for, you know, the person in the world he loves the most and his unborn children, which I think that's what they were going for, right? That he's willing to sacrifice himself and everything he stood for Padme's life, even though she herself is like, hey, don't worry about it.
Yeah, also, like, how we saw him was through visions, and, you know, like, they always say, like, careful with how you see visions, because they're not exactly guaranteed, but no, I do think, if anything, the movie does portray that fear of losing something can lead someone to extreme measures of giving up their personal liberties.
Yeah, that's kind of what Yoda said.
If anything, that gets across.
Yeah, Yoda said say that.
And Yoda's the one that's saying, like, you shouldn't be afraid of such, just let it go. And maybe he's saying just let it go as in don't give a fuck, or just let it go in the sense of accept the inevitable because it is going to happen one way or the other.
But I do think it is a probably a healthier way to process, you know, death and loss. Because sometimes you can't stop it.
The only two absolutes in life are death and taxes. Mm-hmm. And then that's when you cue the IRS music and Rotunda comes
you
out.
You people are scum of the earth because you don't pay your taxes. What a care. I fucking love that. I love Fire. He's awesome.
Do you, remember? Did you know that he was he was something Wall Street in WCW?
Oh, Irwin Shyster Wall Street.
No. Irwin Shyster? WWF name was Irwin.
Oh, it's different. Oh, yeah. I think you're. Ah, fuck. Okay. Yeah, they did that a couple times, didn't they?
Yeah. Irwin R. Shyster? Shyster.
Isn't that what Yeah.
Yeah, that for IRS and WWF, but I don't remember what it is. It was maybe it was Michael Wall Street.
Michael Wall Street. I know they had a couple like VKM or was that TNA? I know they had Voodoo Kid Mafia. Like, oh, Vince and Kennedy McMahon.
Football. Oh right, shit.
You're taking pot, you know, got to take pot shots at your quote unquote competition, right?
That went over my head. I didn't even realize what you were saying there. But if I had to talk tonally speaking on this movie, very few lighthearted moments, and you know, maybe if there were some lighthearted moments, it would have helped with the pacing of this movie. But then again, it's kind of hard to agree with because it's the climax of the prequels, right? So you kind of want that high intensity, high action.
Yeah, because the movie does start off with in the middle of combat.
Yeah, big galactic
In medias res is what they call it, when a story starts in action.
Say that again?
In medias res.
Oh, in
media res? Medias.
Asking you.
I got most of it. Anyway, yeah, his WCW name was VK Wall Street.
Oh, Vincent Kennedy Wall Street.
God damn.
But no, overall, you know, it does make sense. The more I'm talking about it with you, like I said, the benefit of Socratic Seminar, but no, he does become more, I mean, rather, the movie is, for the most part, serious, and it doesn't really let up.
Oh yeah,
and then and you know, as the climax of a trilogy, it does make sense to pay off, and they shouldn't really be doing as much. Like,
no Jar Jar.
It'd be strange if there were a bunch of Jar Jar lines like right before the final.
Oh, Annie, are you okay?
yeah, just some weird.
You're looking a little dire, man.
Looking a little dark. Misa, think you kind of dark seed.
Jesus Christ! Now I want that.
No, okay.
Fuck it. Why not?
But anything else to add on that?
No, totally nah. It's yeah, it's pretty fucking dark. But,
it's a full blown space space opera, space drama.
But, yeah.
Right, let's get to these characters and arcs. Characters, starting with everyone's favorite.
Oh, we could start with Dooku. He was there for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, right. He was there as a cannon fodder.
Yeah, who basically was there for because he's too dangerous to live. Just like Palpatine was.
Oh, we should have put that in key directing.
Yeah, well, I just mentioned it now. So
well, let's just get through that. So Anakin is involved in both situations, but first Sith Lord Dooku is at his mercy. What's his face? Palpatine gets him to kill Dooku.
Yeah, I guess it's important because the last movie ended with Obi-Wan and Anakin trying
getting
to fight.
Bodied by Dooku.
Yeah, like yeah. He was like, oh, but then however much years. The time skip between 2 and 3. Now they, no, I guess not easily, but they do beat him.
Like they definitely had better teamwork. But then yeah. Anakin's able to defeat Dooku at the end of the day by himself,
and just beheads him.
Yeah. Meanwhile, when Palpatine gets put in such a precarious position, instead of being executed, Anakin saves this Sith Lord as opposed to murdering him, and ends up becoming his apprentice.
Yeah, because you know he's got the promise. He's going to save my wife.
How? Fuck it. Have you heard the tragedy?
Darth Plagueis, well, I love
Darth Plagueis the Wise. With the imagery of, you know, sperm cells entering eggs in the theater background.
Like, yeah. Why would you add that? I don't get it. Who? Like I said before with the Padme thing.
You know who.
This does not.
You know who.
I feel like this makes the story worse.
Why are you asking questions that you know the answer to? You know, the sad thing is you probably could have cut some of this stuff.
You think?
Made the movie less
you
of
fucking
a
think?
Less of a drag, you know?
Oh, man. But anyway, so Dooku dies, is there to die. Grievous is basically there to die and be a cool lightsaber fight guy, I guess.
He's made to sell action figures.
He really is. Yeah. No, like, as a kid, he's, like, one of the only ones I knew because he's
such
the guy
striking
with...
striking design.
He's the guy with the four things, and his actual character is just kind of a jobber, honestly.
I mean, I think he had more presence in the cartoon series, but...
Okay, well, yeah, we're not talking about the cartoons.
He definitely gets bodied by
Obi-Wan, yeah. Padme is...
I mean, sorry, before more into that, the main theme is, like, you know, giving up your freedoms or order, I guess. Grievous is a representative of the Fears, right?
Mm.
Right, because he was in charge of the opposing army that made the Republic kind of fall in line with Palpatine.
Yeah, basically he was just there to be an enemy for them to unite against.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, everyone was like, okay, once Grievous is dead, the war will be over, right? And it's a fucking
That's another thing I don't understand is Grievous is reported to be defeated. So what reason do we have to follow Palpatine into becoming an empire?
What was his... I forget. What was his reason?
I don't think there was a reason. Because, like... Like, what enemy is there left to fight if they already beat Grievous? So why are they just deciding to fall under Palpatine as Emperor? Be like, he did good.
I guess I forget. Does the general public, or maybe even just, like, the Jedi, do they know for a fact that there is a Sith Lord behind Grievous and Dooku? Did they know that?
Yeah, they explained that in the first movie.
Well, then I guess they could be like, well, he's still around, probably, so we should find him. But then, but it's not like he promises, it's not like Palpatine's like, oh yeah, I'll find the Sith Lord, because he's a fucking monster at the end, and he just is.
I mean, I don't know what the Senate is,
we could read the Wikipedia thing and try to look for
what are you trying to look for?
I don't know, like why everything happens.
It's a good picture of Hayden Christensen.
Declares declares himself emperor. Yeah, why? Why does everyone let this happen? I don't know. I thought there might be more.
He was a cool dude. That's basically it.
It's like fucking FDR. He's like, hey, you know what? You should rule forever. Or like, I mean, I think people, like, when Washington was the first president, I think some people probably did want him to just keep being, like, president. But, you know, they gotta pass the power on.
All right, let's talk about Padme.
Padme is there.
Not really much of a role aside from giving birth and getting kind of killed by
Anakin. Honestly, my favorite scene in the movie, I kind of lost it, was when... Like, near the end, like, the movie's about to end, and Obi-Wan tells her everything that's happened.
The plot
of the movie, because she's, for most of it, she's just like, oh, Annie, what's happening? I don't know what's going on. Oh, no. And then she just loses it, and I'm like, cool, what an amazing character that is being told the plot. Just...
Well.
And she died.
Yeah. How'd she die?
Yeah, it's... Because it's like...
She's a victim of the, what's it called? Loss of freedoms as far as Anakin, but it's so dumb because Anakin's driving force this whole movie was that I'm trying to save my wife, so I'm going to give everything. I'm going to forsake everything. Okay, Peachy, that makes sense. Sure, yeah. But then he literally plays a hand, not even just from the medical standpoint, but in the standpoint of breaking her heart, but he plays a hand in the death of his wife.
Well, I guess that's so,
like,
the,
what was it all for?
That's the dramatic irony, right? That he was afraid. He was so afraid of her dying that he didn't see that he would be the cause.
Yeah. Oh. And then he acts confused. He says, oh, Lord Vader, in your rage, you did not remember.
Oh, boy.
Whack.
Anyway, then fucking Palpatine's here. And I fucking love him. He's great. I love this performance by, I forget his name.
I don't know the actor.
Ian McDermott, I think. Yes.
Oh,
especially once he becomes full on Darth Sidious with the after the Force lightning.
No,
I mean, come on.
No,
how can you not love?
No,
that
it's
guy?
Like it's one of those. It's like
so over the top.
It's so over the top that I'm actually into it.
Yeah,
that's a good way to place that.
Because it's like, what are his motivations?
He
just wants power.
Unlimited power.
It's like, yeah. Because sometimes...
That's a good point. Like, why does Sidious do all this power?
Because sometimes, you know, you have the villains where you can sympathize with them. You can see where they're coming from. They have a point about the world at large. And you're like, okay, you're going about it the wrong way, but I see where you're coming from. And then you just have, I just want to kill things and people or whatever. And then and that's what Palpatine's on. And you know what? Why not? I guess...
And you know, like, that might seem kind of flat for some people, but... There are some figures in history, it just does seem like all they want is just more control, more power, reach over others.
I think there's room for both, you know?
So, although it does almost seem cartoony with how obsessed he is with it, I don't think that makes it unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think another thing that we kept trying to point out is, like, why does Anakin trust him so much? And I guess it's because it's implied that he's kind of like a father figure to Anakin,
but
right?
We don't really get to see that through any of the movies. Like, he barely talks in episode 2.
Yeah.
In episode 1, the only thing he says to little Anakin was, we'll watch your career with great interest. Nothing more than that. Then episode 3, you know, instead of showing it, Anakin just has this, or Anakin or Sidious say, oh, you're like a father to me.
Yeah, like Anakin's like just hanging on every ear of his word. Fuck, that's not the right.
Hanging on his every word.
There you go. Why did I have to include ear?
I don't know.
Whatever. Anakin does correctly find out that he is a Sith Lord, and pulls out the lightsaber, but then he's like, oh.
But you could help save my life. But that's the sad thing. Like, they just say it. They never show it.
And then he just instantly believes the Lord of the Sith.
I have to say, like, all right, folks, look up Meat Canyon on YouTube. And there's just funny videos that poke at this. Like, one of them is titled, like, Anakin Skywalker is Easy to Convince. And it's the same when Palpatine says, do it. So Anakin obviously kills Dooku, and then, you know, they parody the scene where Palpatine says, well, you didn't even really try to resist me, Anakin. That's kind of against the Jedi code, isn't it?
It's like, man, you're like are you sure you're not already Sith? Like, I don't know, man.
I'll send you these later.
Okay.
You'll get a good kick out.
I'll probably will. Anyway, okay, then Obi-Wan is here to basically be the good guy, Paragon. I guess. Yeah.
He's meant to be opposing to his young Padawan apprentice.
And so, yeah, what does he do in the story? He kills Grievous.
Yep. And then he beats the shit out of Anakin.
Beats the shit out of Anakin.
And he tells him, you know, it's supposed to be for democracy.
And I loved you. He said that. He told him that.
You were like a brother to me.
Yes.
No, I mean, honestly, I was...
Balance to the Force. Yeah. Not destroy or join.
You're supposed to bring balance to the Force. God, this not movie. Leave it in darkness.
This movie really is like so much fuck...
Memes.
Yeah.
It's the wooden dialogue. But you know what? As cheesy as it was, I was still bought into it because I just love, Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Is the new series any good?
Yeah.
Can you watch
it? It's worth watching. Fun. You can watch it now because you're caught up.
I remember watching the scene they had with Vader because I'm like, okay, I gotta see this.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, you know, the funny thing about it is that when they recap the prequels and the Obi-Wan series, like, the way they edit it in such a way that it makes the prequels look like they were good.
Oh, it's the good old the cheering Roman Reigns.
Sure. But no, I just remember seeing it, the prequel recap, and I was thinking, wow, maybe the prequels were better than I remember. And then we did this little venture to watching all three. It's like, no, they weren't as good as they put off it was.
Yeah.
The power of movie editing, folks.
Really? I mean, hey, it's a hell of a drug. Being able to edit, you know, but
so Obi-Wan being against the main thesis of the story, like, he's willing to not be afraid, and he's not going to give up his liberties, you know, so he doesn't want to give up absolute control, unlike his young apprentice. So, you know, and I'm going to steal this line here from the YouTuber I mentioned earlier about the one who said George Lucas is the king of wooden dialogue, so I'm going to steal a line really here, right quick. You know, when George Lucas has a debate on political philosophies, there's only one way to solve it, and that's with lightsaber battles.
Yeah. I mean, I guess technically there never really was an actual political spat solved through a lightsaber battle, if I think about it.
No, not like directly.
Directly. That would be a little too
on the nose.
But yeah. Oh yeah, Yoda. Fuck, I forgot to put Yoda. Yeah, Yoda's also like there to give guidance, I guess. Yeah, and he's
and
like
get beat up by
and then just Sidious. Be and is just ignored by Anakin. He just does, you know, whatever,
and has to fight Sidious
and loses, I guess, or just ends in a draw. I guess he's not dead.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, if anything, it's kind of weird how they handled the fight because they both seem like in a regular position, like as if they could have kept fighting, but Yoda decided to run. But I guess maybe he was worried about people coming.
Yeah, and then he's like, hey, you know. Because
it's so uncivilized.
Oh yeah, the fucking blaster. You know, the gun that just saved your life when you're killing the goo.
Oh no, like, no, it's someone's uncivilized is the YouTube channel.
Oh fuck. Okay.
But you know, he named himself that for obvious reasons.
It's like, maybe guns are kind of useful. Maybe like, yeah, come on, come on, man.
But hey, you know, let's talk about Breaking Bad.
Let's turn about
Star Wars edition.
So yeah, I think the problem with me for why this movie
not even just with you, with me too. I think probably with most people paying attention.
Oh yeah, it's just I can't get behind Anakin as like a guy that I care about
because he's empathize with his
struggle. He's so dumb.
He's so dumb.
He's just so idiot. He's such.
He doesn't take a second to question why people are approaching him, or question the scenario, or try to look at it objectively.
And look, I get it. Him being worried about Padme is supposed to cloud his judgment. Like, that's what, you know, I think we're supposed to get
out
of that.
And he does have some moments that you actually do agree with him, right? Like, the Jedi are dogmatic, and you do feel for him, right?
Yeah.
Then he... but then he's the same character that says the Jedi are evil, but there's never a time where the Jedi say, hey, let's go murder a bunch of children.
Yeah.
But hey, if Daddy Sidious says it, I'm going to do it right away.
Yeah, I guess it's like, what do they call it in... sunken cost fallacy. He's like, I already killed the children. I can't go back, Obi-Wan. What do you want me to do? Like,
I have to commit.
I have to keep going, you know? I gotta commit to the bit. It's like, oops, I guess I didn't really mean to actually go all the way killing these children. Like, I guess I'm a Sith Lord now, hey. I do love that little thing where he whined about the council not giving it the title of master.
Why aren't I a master?
How can you be on the council and not be a master?
This is unforgivable.
And then,
even though he's the youngest council member of all time, and you know, if he kept at it, he probably would have been a master.
When he converts to the Sith, he gets a cool title right away. He gets to be Lord Vader.
There you go, instant gratification. See, patience. Is the way of the Jedi, but if you're a Sith Lord, it's the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I think that is kind of an interesting point. That, like, he trained how many years in the Jedi ways, but then turned to the dark side. Like, he I guess he didn't really show any specific dark side.
I mean, he didn't murder a bunch of sad people.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Which I guess maybe
murdering
that's...
Murdering a whole sentient colony.
I guess that's kind of the point where the darkness was always within him, right? And that's why Yoda was initially scared of him in Episode 1.
Yeah. He always had the ability to choose, but he chose
wrong. He chose kind of unconvincingly, I think. That's the thing. It's like,
that's
it's just
the
not,
sad part, yeah.
It's not very convincing to me that why. Because he just is like, well, shit, I guess I'll do it, Palpatine. Okay.
I have to send you this video. You
okay,
all right.
Anyway, getting into the questions. I mean, we've been hammering a lot of these.
But
well,
hey, you gotta just beat that dead horse. So why does Anakin have to instantly believe what Palpatine says? And if your answer is because Palpatine's like a father figure to you, why does he have like a father figure? Are there any specific scenes where they show them bonding like that? Do they play catch? No, it's because...
Can you imagine?
No, it's literally just because they say he's like a father figure to him. Why does everyone in the Senate... Oh, actually, back to that instant belief. Why does everyone believe in Palpatine and becoming the Emperor?
Yeah, that's kind of weird. Like this guy's like, hey, I know we have this republic going on. Everyone's got a voice. But you all should listen to me now.
Like, why? Why does everyone just golf clap for it? And also, another reason is, how come no one questions why the Jedi attacked Palpatine? Like, clearly they were fighting for you, you know? So, like,
or
no
maybe,
one even, like, okay, let's say they agree with it, but no one's even going to second guess it a little bit.
Yeah. No, I think maybe is that the reason why?
Hell,
like,
Padme didn't even say anything. Yeah. She was just quiet.
Yeah, I guess maybe at that point she's like, I'd be outnumbered. She knew that she wouldn't have a fighting chance against this.
I guess? Not really? I don't know.
But you should still, like, say something.
I didn't
something.
Realize
I
she
mean,
was
you still gotta say something.
If you watch Episode 2 at all, she's not really the type of character to back down in such a scenario, but fuck it.
But I guess, you know...
Parenthood changes you, so much so that it makes you lose the will to live. I'm just gonna keep running that joke.
Oh, yeah.
I should have quoted that. A little directing question. So Yoda and Sidious have this epic battle in the Senate pod chamber, but they never really show why the pod opens. It just opens.
Maybe Yoda just stepped on it accidentally.
But I mean, I feel like there was a scene explaining how that action transition happened, but they never. They might have. Maybe just didn't make the final.
Yeah. Time. Oh well. Whatever. And then the very last one, the one that I've been. Do the prequels deserve to exist? Basically, did we need to see how Darth Vader became Darth Vader?
You know, it was a good idea on paper.
Actually, I feel maybe we should wait for that at the very end.
Yeah, we'll keep going. All right.
Anyway.
Padme and Anakin do a terrible job of hiding their relationship.
Like, literally doing it behind a pillar in public.
Five minutes after being away from people. So, clearly still in eyesight if someone tried. Order 66. You know, like, they never really explain, like, the logistics of that, you know. It's supposed to be like, oh, all the clones were imprinted to once they hear Order 66, the Jedi are rebelling, must murder them. But that's never explained. It's just a random command.
Yeah, they could. He could have literally just said that too.
It would take him like a couple minutes. Effect of like changing the colors, like doing like an eye highlight to show that there's a programming change.
Yeah.
In the clones or whatever, but no, nothing.
Because I'm just like, wait, well, how come that guy was on Obi-Wan's side? Now we're shooting at him. What's going on?
What the fuck? Yoda doing the playground shove to the guards to knock him out. Super lame. They could have just, you know, remember when Palpatine got shoved into the chair?
Yeah.
that was fun. Ass overhead. That's pretty good. Why couldn't they just do that again? You know? There's no way they ran out of money.
Those guards weren't selling for Yoda. I don't sell for the biggest draw in the company, brother.
I ain't doing the job, pal. Okay. So this becomes more of a problem like later on. But there's a lot of incest for some reason in the Star Wars movie if you followed like the timelines.
Yeah.
So Palpatine spawns Anakin. And I had to do the math here.
yeah, we were trying to figure out
Anakin spawns Luke and Leia. And there's a lot of brother
and
sister kissing.
And yeah, there wasn't that, which I don't even know if the first movie was written for them to be siblings.
No, I think they at the last movie George is like, how do I resolve this storyline? Instead of Luke being dumb, they're like, oh, let's just make him related. This is a good idea.
It's like, I don't get, like, why?
But clearly, George might have some issues sticking the landing. But, okay. So that spawns Luke and Leia. Leia spawns Ben Solo. Yes. Okay. So now you fast forward to episode 7, 8, 9. So you have Rey. But Rey is a grandchild of Palpatine. So Palpatine not only spawned Ben Solo eventually, but he also spawns Rey eventually.
Yeah.
And then,
he gets around.
And then at the end of the last movie,
a galactic sperm. You know?
Ben Solo and Rey, for some reason, have a makeout scene. So I was like, oh, this is gross. So ironically, the prequels didn't have any incest, but the last six movies did. So.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Just
some memorable quotes, because this is a. The Wooden King thing is on such hard display here. And like you said earlier, it's so over the top that it's good.
Yeah, because like the line only sits deal in absolutes, which I will say on its own sounds like a pretty good line. Like, okay, you know, making a statement about how Siths are. But then literally Palpatine was telling Anakin, hey, good and evil is like a sly, it's a subjective.
Two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. So, no, he fucking does. He clearly does not deal in absolutes. Or, I guess it's like, it's an absolute, like, our version of good is different than the Jedi's version of good, and that's why they're evil. Because we're the real good ones.
Anakin! Chancellor Palpatine is evil! In my eyes, the Jedi are evil!
Anyway, all the fucking
Obi-Wan. This is where the fun begins.
And then that one, and then
Padme lost the will to live. We are going to say that till the end of time.
That is indeed a quote.
I didn't even realize, you know, because last time I saw this movie was like probably a decade ago, right? But I did not realize that was the official canon reason of Padme.
I just thought she died like a normal,
before giving birth. Like that could
like health complications.
Yeah. That's totally credible, but instead she just chose to die.
You know, or maybe she had an incurable disease, and that's what Anakin was afraid about, or something. I don't know.
Let's get to the key directing.
Key directing, and yeah, we're getting to. I guess yeah, we'll begin with the pacing, which is what thing motivates about both. Or
like we actually
just sitting here.
We were peeking at the time, folks. 30 minutes of action, 30 minutes of talking, 30 minutes of action.
It's just it's
30 minutes, and then. More talking, and then last 20 minutes of action.
It's just a slog. It really is. Although, I guess, during the, wherever the Grievous was planet, didn't they intersperse that with some, scenes of Anakin and Palpatine talking? So
sure.
That was different.
Sure, sure. But at the end, but then it leads to them trying to arrest Palpatine, so more action.
Yeah.
But no, like, it's not the fights are good. I enjoy the fights.
It's
just
fine, yeah.
It's mind-numbing when you need to go through it so long. I feel like this movie could be drastically improved in the aspect of pacing if you cut out some scenes or like, a lot of the scenes, like the opening 30 minutes, probably don't need a whole 30 minutes. Maybe like, even half that time.
Like, honestly, when it comes to movies, I never want more. Even movies I like and that are good, I'm like, I
completed this journey.
We can be done in like under 2 hours. We can do this as a society.
Yes.
All right.
But this movie is 2.5 hours, yeah, which is shorter than I thought.
I think it is one of the longer ones, I think.
I believe it. But also, like, stuff at the end I would say is necessary, but a lot of the beginning and middle could be shortened, if not cut out.
Yeah. Okay, then getting the key directing of Anakin is a thing. We talked about that.
So, yeah, his robes get darker as the 3 movies progress to show, you know, he's turning to the dark side. And also, like, the parallelism that George does mention in an interview between this series and then the original trilogy is both Anakin and Luke wear black, if not all black, mm-hmm. in their final battles, but they're both fighting for different things at the time.
Yeah.
One is fighting to save, one is fighting to murder a bunch of kids.
I mean, okay, he's supposed to be fighting for Padme, but he kind of gets lost.
Kind of?
A little bit when she's in front of him.
It's totally lost.
All he cares about is he just becomes paranoid.
Power! Unlimited power! Jesus,
and then I did kind of mold the parallel of him being put into the suit at the same time as his children being born.
I think that's kind of a good directing moment, right? Because then it shows both births happening at the same time.
Also, we gotta have the way they explain why Leia grew up as a princess and Luke grew up as a farm boy is...
Why does Leia get to be a princess?
Because she was a princess in the first trilogy.
Luke gets to be poor in the dirt!
Because we gotta explain why they were separated.
What the fuck, Yoda?
Yeah, to me, like, that's like a clear thing. Like, okay, this is our end point. How do we get there? You know, book.
Yeah.
Let's say you have your finish and you book from the.
Honestly, that's not even too much of a cinema sin than anything. Mm. So it's just more funny.
Yeah.
So I kind of read up, like, why? Because, you know, I watched episodes 4 and 5 recently. I was like, okay, why is there a lot of kissing between Luke and Leia? Right? Because I know at the end they're going to be siblings.
Yeah.
So apparently, when it was time for episode 6, or rather, Return of the Jedi. Is that what episode 6 is called?
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi. Oh.
Yeah, it goes...
Revenge of the Sith. Return of the Jedi. Of course.
Return of the Skywalker?
Rise of Skywalker.
Rise!
But I feel like that one's not as parallel.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But obviously parallel between
the two movies of Revenge of the Sith as opposed to Return of the Jedi. But in Return of the Jedi, you know, apparently George, good old Georgie, wasn't exactly clear how to tie things up.
Uh-huh.
So he's like, obviously he knew that Luke needed to have a sister, and then he had to resolve the...
Wait, why? Why does he need a sister?
They mentioned one in episode 5.
Fuck!
Yeah. Well, then, not necessarily a sister, but as Yoda's like mentioning, there's another...
Oh, there was another...
Yeah. Okay. It's not specified brother or sister. And okay. If anything, it doesn't even have to be related, but, you know, they tease that there's another in relation to Luke. But then also, like, you know, you have the love triangle. So, mm-hmm. I guess he thought...
What a twist.
Let's just add it together. Everyone's gonna love this. Yeah.
You know, when hey, I bet you weren't expecting it. I bet people weren't expecting it back then.
Hey, okay. So, spoilers for Last of Us Part 2.
Oh, okay.
I heard there was a big twist in the opening of the game that people hated. And then I was thinking, like, oh my god, I hope they don't try to do, like, a Joel-Ellie romance, because that would make me actually sick to my stomach. But no, it was just Joel dying, so I was like, okay.
More normal, yeah.
I was thinking, like, oh, honestly, I expected him to die at the end of the first game, so him dying wasn't as much of a shock to me.
I mean, yeah, I feel like that just feels appropriate for that kind of story.
Actually, you know, tangent, but...
Yeah, go for it.
That game is another one that has an issue with directing. I think the pacing of that game is shit.
I'm pretty sure you went on like a 20-minute rant on this podcast.
So I'm just going to cut it short. But like, look, you could work Abby in, but don't have Abby's section right at the climax of the story. Like, just do it side to side. Yeah, don't make it a fucking surprise.
You got to have a hang.
Or at least make the game shorter so then when you get around to it, it's not as much of a fucking slog.
I know, we're trying to tell a story. We gotta get that
shit in. like, there wouldn't be such a pacing. I think the game would have been received a lot better if, like, the first game, you know, high praise. Second game, like, it could have probably been the same level if the pacing was. That's the crazy thing. The first game had such good pacing. So, okay. Maybe it was just pressure from, like, stockholders of making the game bigger and better, right? Because it's a sequel, but I don't know. It's sad because, like, you expect the pacing to be good in the second game, too. I don't know. Whatever. Opening shot of a big spaceship, because, you know.
It's Star Wars. It's a soul of wars and stars.
Wars and stars, as Oscar Isaac says. But there's probably an opening shot of a spaceship in episode 6, I would dare.
And I'm pretty sure even the first Star Wars does open with the big Star Destroyer.
To show the scale.
I forget if it's the Star Destroyer first and then the Rebel ship, or probably the Rebel ship being chased.
Yeah, something like that.
It's like, Rebels small, Empire big.
Hey, you gotta have that underdog battle, right? Mm. It's simple yet effective. Let's get into the effects.
The effects?
Music and sound effects always, I think in Star Wars, that's the number one thing, right? I think if George Lucas is king at, it's definitely
like, definitely even people who aren't super into Star Wars, even like me, recognize stuff like that.
They know the sound of a lightsaber being turned on.
Or fucking Battle Fates. Or Duel Fates? Duel Fates. Which, no, I remember the one time we played that in Dan, and oh man, it was fucking awesome.
Like, you feel hyped about it, right? Yeah, hell music's, yeah. Like, music's into it. Even the CG, you know?
I thought it holds up pretty well. So the first...
It's not monstrosities from the first movie.
I mean, Phantom Menace looks pretty fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Two is better, I guess. I don't really remember it being offensive, really. But yeah, this is clearly like the best one in terms of how it looks, and
I would say the technicalities of the movie, as far as like screen transitions, are slick.
Yeah,
the score is nice. Yeah. The fight scenes are good. The sound effects are top tier because it's fucking Star Wars, George Lucas, right? Like, all the technicalities of this movie actually are the best in the trilogy, right? If not like comparison to the other movies. The only issue is the actual basis of a movie, as in a plot, motivations, characters.
And then I think maybe that's a good transition into asking, why do the prequels deserve to exist? Why did we need to see the story of how Darth Vader or Anakin Skywalker became Darth Vader? Other than people wanted to see it. Because it's like, oh, what happened?
Well, I can't say it was wholly bad. Right, I don't think that'd be fair. I think that'd be ignoring a lot of things.
I can't say that these are like some of the worst things I've ever seen.
It's just they're kind of infuriating.
Yeah, they're
especially the last one.
They're not. It's just very messy. I think that's the thing. The story, like, and each of them have like kind of.
Star Wars is a messy series.
They are. They probably are. But yeah, it's. I really can't. I don't know if I can really come up with a good.
Okay. Let me take a shot at it. So I think the prequels should exist because then you wouldn't have a lot of the stuff that comes on along the way. And granted, there are some Star Wars media that came out recently that is shit. Like, for example, episode 9, right? But there's a lot of good that comes out. There is a fair amount of good stuff you can get from the Star Wars series, right? Because like, if there's no prequels, maybe Disney wouldn't buy out the series. And then
That's
you wouldn't have a chance to build a lightsaber at Disneyland for $200. Or you wouldn't have a chance to watch both seasons of The Mandalorian, which are kick-ass shows.
Okay. Well, okay.
And Obi-Wan, you know, I feel like that's kind of split down the middle. And I feel like any main...
How much money did this... I'm sure the prequels made a lot of money.
I'm sure they all made money.
It's second highest grossing film worldwide.
$868 million.
Hell yeah.
Almost a billion.
I mean, and then again, obviously... Movies that make money aren't always indicative of like quality. Not that, and I think to me, it's kind of come down to over the years, I've kind of stopped caring about whether things are objectively good or not. I care a lot more about do I actually enjoy it? Yeah. And honestly, I guess part of me did enjoy watching the prequels. And I think it does kind of come from a source of like finally being part of the cultural, Of the memes.
Can't wait to watch the rest of the Star Wars.
I mean, I guess I'd take a stab at it. Why not? I mean, I've already seen two of the newer ones. I still haven't touched any of the old ones.
Right.
So maybe one day we'll get through those. But yeah. I guess, yeah, to your point that they did help extend the reach of the franchise.
I think I enjoy Star Wars enough that I'm glad that the prequels exist. It's just, if you ask me if I enjoy the prequels in a vacuum, I'll probably say no.
Probably not.
I'd probably say no. Especially like that second movie's boring, first one's dull, third one's interesting but dumb.
Yeah. Well, it really is like a pick your poison. It's like personally, like I, the Phantom Menace can go die in a fucking fire. That one is so boring and really? Bad. I hate it so much.
I thought you preferred Phantom Menace over Clone
Wars. No, did I? I forgot what I said.
Attack of the Clones, rather.
Whatever. I mean, to me, it's 3-2-1 in terms of enjoyment.
Fair enough.
It's like, yeah, I think deriving enjoyment from seeing how stupid Anakin is and how much he trusts Palpatine and. Palpatine
it's
just
almost
controlling.
That ironic enjoyment.
It kind of is, but you know what? Enjoyment is enjoyment.
Yes.
At the end of the day. So, I mean, I guess if you still haven't seen any of the Star Wars prequels.
Oh, here's the real question.
Why not? Go for it, I guess.
Should a casual viewer watch the prequels?
Okay, are you a casual Star Wars fan? Then you probably already have.
Okay.
Because they are.
Well, that's okay.
Old
let's say
enough.
You're a fucking snot nosed teen. You're 13 in the year 2022. You've seen episodes 4 through 6. Well, maybe they weren't even called 4 through 6 back then, but no, let's just say you've seen 7, 8, 9, okay, and you have Disney Plus, so you've seen a show or two. Should I watch episodes 1, 2, and 3?
Hell, they're not that long.
They're kind of fucking long.
Okay, well, but in the grand scheme of things,
of your life,
I mean, okay, put one on, maybe you'll laugh at it. Actually, you maybe could skip that one. I don't know. Honestly, you probably could just watch any of them in a vacuum.
Yeah, honestly, you could see episode 1. If there's a reason to watch episode 1, it's definitely the final fight. But other than that.
And to see.
I'm going
to
do a
see,
flip.
What's
that's
his name?
Cool.
What's his name? Guy with two lightsabers. Yeah. No.
Oh, Darth
double. Maul. There you go. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I liked him as a kid. He was cool. And then he died.
Got chopped in half.
But then he showed up in Solo.
In Clone Wars.
Hey, I watched Solo like when it came out. I actually kind of liked Solo.
Yeah.
Which I know. I think most people really didn't care for it that much. As much as, like. Quote unquote real Star Wars, but.
Regular Star Wars.
I thought it was fine. It was alright.
Maybe we'll watch that later because I haven't seen that.
Maybe.
Alright, okay. Folks. But, as for me. They're kind of a slog. They're kind of long. I think it's interesting to watch just because they're representative of movies in the 2000s.
I feel like to me it's like you might as well watch all of them.
Yeah.
If you're gonna watch some, like, you might as well.
Sunk cost fallacy.
Kind of, yeah, basically.
I murdered these children. I guess I might as well enslave the galaxy.
I watched these first terrible movies. Or, okay, maybe. I'm sure they're a good one.
No, the originals are pretty good.
Yeah.
I think the originals are at least more solid than. I think when you start trying to over explain certain things,
aka
the prequels, that's when they start falling apart.
Definitely. I don't even think they've said midichlorians at all, have they? Did they?
No, not in this movie.
That was me pointing out.
But they do say midichlorian. Well, they say M count. So they haven't said directly referenced the bullshit. But hey, folks, you know what we always say? We're not a weekly podcast, but we pretend to be. Signing out.
See you.